happy new week. I hope you're doing amazing. And next to me, I have got one of my recently, well, hot off the press published authors, Scott Brearley. Show us your book, Scott. Lift that up. My Perfect Storm is Scott's book. He is currently back in Canada. I had the pleasure of meeting Scott a month ago in Thailand, which is where him and his wife Lisa spend 6 months there, and they're currently building a house there. And if you guys remember last week, I got to interview Lisa on her second book. So we're going to hear about Scott's journey of writing My Perfect Storm. But before we do that, I'm going to give you the official introduction of who he is, and then we'll get stuck into the conversation. So I'll have his beautiful cover on the screen here while I talk through who he is. Now, after surviving a near fatal car accident at age 7, followed by a tumultuous life marked by alcohol and drug abuse, family and physical traumas, divorce, prostate cancer, and diabetes, Scott really found himself on the brink of ending it all several times. However, he made a pivotal decision. Delving deep within himself, he embarked on a journey of self-discovery. Through numerous personal development courses, addiction programs, and trauma therapy, coupled with earning a life coach certification, he equipped himself with invaluable tools and strategies to navigate the amazing journey called life. In his memoir, My Perfect Storm, Scott recounts the chapters of his life fraught with feelings of unworthiness, loneliness, misfortune, and a pervasive belief in cosmic hostility. Yet, propelled by a newfound sense of purpose, he embarked on a new life chapter. With a mission to harness his past experiences and personal growth, Scott aspires to empower others, both men and women, to uncover their inner strength. Scott's favorite philosophy, it's all a choice. Amazing. Thank you. So thank you so much for joining me on your Sunday afternoon over in Canada, Scott. I can't wait to get stuck in the conversation.
Perfect.
All right. My good perfect soul. let's get into it.
First of all, I just want to give a big shout out to all the mothers out there that were mothers to their kids.
Yes.
Because there's Mother's Day here in Canada. I don't know where else it is, but I wanted to start with that.
It was here yesterday and we had a wonderful time. And yes, happy Mother's Day to those still celebrating, because the world hasn't gone all the way around the sun. And it is still Mother's Day. So thank you for acknowledging that. So let's get started at the very beginning. Why did you decide to write a book?
I think in the beginning, it was just to face my demons.
Mm-hmm.
And as I wrote it, and I had started to write it a few times, and I had kind of people suggest that I write a book sometimes.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Lisa kind of, as I was getting into it, she's like, I'm going to sign you up for the course. And it's like, I just kept quiet. Then all of a sudden she signed me up for the course and at your course. And at that point it was like, okay, well, I'm in here now. So I just kept going, and it was a pretty big journey. And even listening to you read my introduction, it's like I get a little teary-eyed over it, because it was a long journey to get where I'm at today.
Yeah, and, amazing. We had a chat about it also when we met, you know, and things that you have been through. So what do you hope that your book does? I mean, was it a healing experience, first of all? Was it cathartic for you?
I believe it was a really healing experience, because, as you know, when you're writing a book, you got to go through it and go through it and go through it till the point you want to just throw it in the garbage, because you can't go through it one more time. Yes. But yet you still do it. And then with Lisa, it was like she helped me and coached me through the whole thing. It was perfect.
Yeah, amazing. So you did it, you didn't come to the three-day program, but you wrote on your own. How long did that process take, and how did you stay disciplined?
I think it took about a little over a year, because I started it in Thailand last year in the springish, and it's just getting done now, published today. So yeah, it's been about a year and a bit.
That's pretty good still, like for doing it on your own, and just staying with it and like going through it and all that. I often say, when people are completely on their own, they can start strong, but then stop and years go by and then come back to it and it's not relevant, or they want to say it differently. But it's really, it's a pretty good timeline to turn around in 12 months.
That's also kind of why one of my big themes is decisions.
Yes.
Like decisions I make today affect tomorrow. Mm. And decisions I made yesterday affect me 30 years from today.
Mm.
And if we work on the right decisions rather than the wrong decisions, we're making forward-walking choices.
Yeah, I love that. So talk to me about the adversity, and how does someone who's gone through so much, you know, what was like maybe a defining moment that shifted everything to you tapping into personal development and all that?
Well, I don't think there was any one moment, because as the readers, like, I've been around 12-step programs my whole life. And I think almost the defining moment of changing something, I went for this 3-day weekend course and I wanted to die. Like, I just wanted to kill myself and get it over with. And I go to this 3-day weekend course and all of a sudden they're trying to upsell me for the next course, and which they all do. And I leave and I'm mad and I go out to my bike and I go to put my leg over my bike and this thought dawns on me. It's like, if my bike mechanic said I needed to put $5,000 in my bike, I would hand him my credit card and just go do it.
Yeah.
And why won't, I'm more important than my bike. So why won't I invest in myself? So that's when I started to invest in myself. Because I believe if you're not investing in yourself, you're going backwards.
Yeah. I have a saying, you're either green or growing, or you're ripe and rotting.
I like that.
Yeah, yeah. It's on my saying. I heard it in one of the courses I did early on, but I've been saying it over and over and over. And I really, like, you know, it's kind of, I always remember that. So it's so key, isn't it? And the biggest investment you can make is the one you invest in your own self-development and understanding, you know, what, you know, why we do certain things that we do.
Yes.
Yeah, I love it. And, you know, so this journey of personal growth has taken you on many different avenues. What would be one thing you would tell someone who might be at a place where you once were?
Dig in. Don't give up. And get a couple people in your corner that are willing to fight for you.
Yeah.
And get outside the box. Don't do what you've always done. That was kind of my problem. Like, my whole life, I would get messed up and stuck, and I would just go back to AA and go back to AA, or go to NA because AA, like, and jump back and forth. And just don't give up and keep going and searching. Because eventually, if you keep searching, you're going to find what you're looking for.
Yeah.
And have I found exactly what I'm looking for yet? No, because it's, life's a journey. And the way my life has unfolded, there's a lot of mystery still. And we're just about to embark in the next journey of what Scott's doing for his mental health.
Yeah.
I'm going down to the States to see Dr. Amen. He's a psychologist that does a spectral scan of your brain. And I've had a lot of head injuries, and I know there's lots of people out there that live with head injuries too. And is that some of my behavior problem? Because the way he talks, having head injuries is one of the worst things that can happen to a person. I've dealt with them since I was 7.
Yeah. Yeah. So what kind of impact did that accident have on you when you were 7 years old?
Well, I remember being kept behind, having to learn how to walk again.
Yeah.
And then being 8 years old, going back to a tricycle when everybody else is on in it. And I think it was the start of the self-esteem stuff, of being left out and not knowing how to be part of. My mom wouldn't let me play hockey for years, and so I didn't get to play hockey like all my buddies did. And that's Canadian sport. So yeah, I got left behind, and I think that was kind of what happened, and some of the downfall in what happened with my life.
Yeah. So if someone picks up your book, My Perfect Storm, what will they get from it? What do you hope they're going to get from it?
Well, if they're a person that's struggling with life, I hope they get some inspiration. And I hope they get the feeling, oh my God, I'm not alone. There's other people like me out there. Because even in the 12-step rooms, I was like looking at these people and it's like, you don't think the way I think. They don't. And I mean, I'm sure some of them do. However, it's recovery is a journey for everybody that's written individually, that's mapped out just for you. And I struggled. I thought the universe hated me. Yeah. And why do they want to, like, I'm getting ground all the time. And what it was I was being stubborn and staying in this circle where I shouldn't have been, instead of stepping out of the circle and getting into something else. And, you know, the universe gives us signs. And now I'm 56 years old paying for it because my whole body's sore, but yet I'm a blue collar worker. I work great with my hands and that's it. And here I am living a different life because I chose some different directions to go in.
Yeah. Made some different decisions and then you start getting different things show up in your life, right?
Yes.
And
one of the other one of the big moments was when I got diabetes. And I know that might sound crazy, but I learned more about myself from diabetes than I have ever learned. And that's where I came up with the decision. It's like, I control my diabetes with food and that's it. I don't take medication. I don't do anything. Does my count go up and down a little bit? Yes. However, it's a decision what I put into my body to keep my counts low. And it's a disease just like alcoholism or addiction. So, like, let's man up and take charge of your life. That's how you get past all the stuff.
Yeah. Very true. And, you know, again, it's choices, right?
Yes.
What, you know, what do you get up and decide, you know, you're gonna fuel your body or you're going to put junk in it? And
yeah.
The output, what you put it, input equals, you know, the output that you're going to get. So yes. By living a healthier life and changing, what has improved, do you believe, in your life?
The biggest part that's improved is my human contact with people.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I go out to the market and I'm friendly and I talk to people and I have an aura about myself that's not get away from me, because yeah. That's all I put on before. And so I'm drawing people into my life.
Yeah.
And it makes me happy. After 30 years, I have my brother back in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk a couple times a week. And we went 30 years without seeing or talking with each other.
Yeah.
My sister, the same thing. Not 30 years, but we went a long time. And I've made an impact on their lives. And it's feels good to do that rather than being negative and...
That holding the anger and all that, you know, and that was one of the things that you're known for, being so angry all the time.
Well, and that brings me to another point. It's like we get stuck in these circles of people that we keep going to, like AA or NA, and then you get labeled Angry Scott.
Yeah.
And I know a buddy of mine that I've known for 30 years. I just seen him last weekend. He was always known as Angry Jerry. Oh. Now it's funny. One of the one times I seen him share at a meeting, he was crying. He was so grateful to give this man this cake that he had sponsored. And but people still label him as Angry Jerry that have known him for years. And we don't let people change. Why don't we let people change today? Like, especially when we're in an environment of growth and we keep the person down instead of building them up.
Yeah. And labels can have a big impact unless you know that you're not, you know, that they have no meaning unless you give it any meaning. Yeah, absolutely. So obviously the door to love opened up as well by you having this transformation.
The door of what?
The door to love opened up.
Love you. I didn't know love like I have existed.
Yes. That's very cool.
And it's all due to one person for opening my life up a little bit. It's like, I was at this course. It's actually where I met my Lisa, my wife. The day before, with her homework was to write a list of hopes, dreams, and goals. And so I go to my bunk and I write out this little list and I throw it on the shelf because I got no hope and I have no dreams and I have no goals. And I wake up in the morning and my head's like, I didn't even open my eyes. And it's like, you ripped yourself off again. And the first thing I put down when I was really honest with myself is I wanted a partner. Now, I don't remember what else I put on it. So later that day, we're doing this high ropes exercise. And before you went up, there's this gentleman, Felipe. He's a great physical education coach.
Yes.
He asked me a question. He goes, so what's your biggest goal? And I told him, I said, I want a partner. And he's, okay, well, what are you going to say to her when you wake up in the morning? And I'm like, roll over and say, hey, babe, I love you, and give her a kiss. What else are you supposed to say? And he's like, well, why don't you try something different? And in my stubborn mind, or how could you one-up that? And he goes, so why don't you wake up in the morning and go, hey, babe, how can I love you today? And it's so silly of a question, but how do we know how we love a person if the person doesn't let us know how to love them and be teachable to learn how to love people?
Yeah.
And that's the biggest, I think, the biggest takeaway of my life. Because I don't know what people need unless I ask.
Yeah.
I may assume. Yeah. And so, yeah, that was one of the coolest moments of my life.
And then Lisa appeared.
It's actually funny. I climbed up the rope ladder and there's this girl sitting there and she's, I can't remember the question she asked, but she goes to me, can I say something to you? And I'm like, sure. Do you know that movie Ice Age 2? And I'm like, no, not really. And she kind of explains it, that there's this dad elephant running across this lava field while it's blowing up to get to his family. And I don't even know this girl. And she goes, you remind me exactly of that elephant. All your friends will be going, turn left, and you'll just be going straight ahead. And I don't even, like, she said she prayed on it. And I'm not one of those real big believers in that stuff, but she pegged me right to a T, and she had only seen me for a couple of days serving me meals. It was pretty bizarre.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I forgot about that story.
And was that Lisa or was it someone else's?
No, it wasn't Lisa. It was just a girl at the top. She was this religious girl that worked at the camp.
Yeah, very cool.
And then Lisa, though, it was kind of strange. We both thought the course went to Sunday and it ended on Saturday. And we're standing there sharing that with each other. And she's like, well, I don't have to be back to Calgary till Sunday night. And I'm like, I guess we're going for dinner tonight. And that's how our relationship started. During the course, we kind of left each other alone and
put up afterwards. So what's the future hold now that this book is out? Lisa's got a couple of her books that we've spoken about, and your love journey's been documented in the Year of Love and 6 Months of Love in those two editions, if you like. What do you guys to hope to do with releasing these books, and where does, you know, what choices will you be making?
I'm not 100% sure where I'm going with it.
Yep.
I know I've met a few people that, like, I want to coach and I want to coach people. I don't want to harm people. I want to do it right. And
yeah,
know I need a teacher to teach me how to do that in a way. And we've met a couple people that have actually written books for you, David and the Kennedys, right?
Yeah. Dave and Susan. Yeah.
Yeah. David and Susan. And we're going to talk with them a bit and learn some stuff from them and see where we go. And my hope is that I change people that come into my path.
Yeah.
Beautiful. To the positive and make an improvement and leave my mark with, I started with a nightmare storm and leaving some gifts behind.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. I think also out of the biggest breakdowns come the biggest breakthroughs. And if we can then gift that to other people who are at that rock bottom place, that's really, you know, kind of it sense of happiness comes from that sense of contribution, I always say. If you feel you can contribute, and it's so wonderful when someone comes to you and says, you've changed my life, or you've saved my life. In a lot of instances, in situations like you're helping the types of people, you know, kind of from where you were. I'll just read a couple of comments here. Such a great book, overcoming so many challenges, Scott. Your raw journey will help so many people, from Vivi. David Barn, he actually recently came to our seminar. He goes, enjoyed your testimony. Anyone read Acts chapter 9? Oh. and yeah, there's a few other people watching and saying good morning or good afternoon. So tell me now, how is it going through the process? Obviously, you're working with us. You actually wrote independently, and then you came into editing, layout, print, like went through all of those stages. How did you find those steps?
Well, some of it was frustrating because, as I haven't said this, I'm pretty illiterate. Like my spelling is based on what the computer tells me is right.
Yeah.
And then when I would get it back and there would be blurbs that the editor kind of said, rewrite. And it's like, oh my God, I'm saying it right there. And it's like, and then Lisa would help me tweak it. And it would be like, oh, I see what she's talking about now.
Yeah.
And there were times where I was so overwhelmed that I just had to put the book away. And go, I'm done, I can't do it, and then pick it up again. And but I knew it was something that I needed to get done.
Yeah.
Not something that I wanted to put on the shelf again.
What was it like holding it in your hands? I know it was posted to Canada, and you guys, it was sitting there for you while you were getting back there from Thailand. It's surreal.
It's a pretty surreal moment. I look at the picture, and this is Scott before his accident. Yeah. So I didn't really have much trauma.
Yeah.
So I thought.
Yeah.
And I wish I could tell him everything's going to be okay. And stop worrying about the little things, and we're like, cherish the things in your life that are good.
And it does everything. It tends to work out, but you don't know it at the time, or when you're stuck in the storm of it all.
Well, I was out of control for years, even after I was put the drugs down. I was still out of control. My anger was out of control, and I didn't know how to do anything different. And there's a lot of people that don't know how to treat somebody like that.
What does an average day look like for you now?
Well, now that I'm home in Canada, I get up and I've been going out and I've been doing yard work. Lisa and I always probably spend 20 minutes in the morning and talk a little bit about our days, what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's pretty much it right now. My sister-in-law's really sick. Like, she's going into palliative care pretty soon, I think. So I've been going to Kamloops a lot.
So, and making the healthy choices, as you say, in what you're eating and putting in your body. And
yes. Looking
after yourself. And, of course, project managing that house build in Thailand, probably now remotely from the other side of the world, right?
I'm actually glad we're not there. It's taking all the stress away. Get some pictures and go, oh, that looks great.
Yeah, I had similar situations happen at this home here. It needed a pool build. Like, it was when we bought it. And I remember doing a lot of national tours. I'd go on tour and I'd come back and another thing would be built and ready and finished. It's awesome. I think doing it remotely and not knowing, even our home at the moment needs fixing on the Gold Coast because of a flood. And there's a project manager there and you're not living in it, you know? So I think it's probably a positive. And you guys will rock up there next year. It'll be, oh, wow. Or towards the end of this year, actually, you'll be like, this looks amazing.
We actually have our tickets back already. We booked them before we left.
Booked them? Yeah, awesome, awesome. Well, I look forward to visiting one day. So where can people buy your book? I believe we've got your website up. Let me share that. So Lisa and Scott have a website called forwardwalkingchoices.com, and there they both are. And if you scroll down, you'll be able to get all the books, actually. Scott's book is here on the left. There's a little button where you can buy it, My Perfect Storm, and there are the two books by Lisa. And Lisa actually just got her proof copy of the third book, which is a children's book. So you can click through and connect with these guys through here or follow them on socials. So forwardwalkingchoices.com. I'm sure Lindy will be sharing that link, which she has already done. On there, and if you're listening to this in a podcast, just the normal spelling of all of those words, and you'll be able to connect with these guys. Scott, I'm really proud of you, of how far you have come. Just the life that you guys live is one of true inspiration. You guys see, because I've been following your journey since working with Lisa, and all the adventures you have and all the different things and that are happening, you can really feel that true contentment and happiness in the journey, and it's never ending, right? It's you continuing to green and grow and improve yourself. I can't wait to see how you go in the States when you go and visit that particular, is it a doctor, did you say?
Yeah, Dr. Amen.
Dr. Amen.
Dr. Yeah. Amen at the Amen Clinics.
Yeah. Awesome. And you know, and to go through and like just see what else can we get even better, because I think you can always, I read in a book, you know, the best is ahead of us, right? Whatever's to come.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't matter how old we get, our best work is ahead of us. So I look forward to also seeing that the impact that you potentially be making people going through recovery, and you know, catching up with you guys again, you know, somewhere in the world soon.
So somewhere.
Yeah, I wish you every success. Go forth, guys, and get Scott's book and have a read, you know, or maybe give it to someone who might have lived or is living a similar life that you can inspire them to take the leap and make some different choices. All right, guys, have a great week ahead, and remember, smash it out. Thank you, Scott.